Welcome to The Social Network Show. How do you feel about social technology and this connected, networked world we live in? Your host of The Social Network Show, Dr. J, interviews informed and entertaining guests to tackle the most pressing digital issues of interest to business professionals and nonprofit leaders, to parents and educators, and to anyone wondering where all this is taking us. And now, your host, experimental psychologist, Dr. Jane Karwoski.
Are you feeling creatively blocked in your life or your business? Maybe feeling like you need a roadmap to help you cultivate your creativity and create lasting forward momentum on your projects? Are you ready to overcome your procrastination? Get past the stress of not creating? Release your perfectionist tendencies. I don't know who that could reply to. Let go of your moments of self-sabotage. Silence that inner critic and embrace the art of stress-free creating. Well, today you're going to hear from creativity coach and learning expert, Dr. Dominique Klopp, who will share her inspirational breakthrough creativity methods. You'll get key secrets for generating ideas, the kind of ideas everybody wants to have, right? And getting and staying unstuck and sharing your work brilliantly and fearlessly. Well, Dominique, Dr. Klopp is the founder and president and CEO of Inspiring the Creative Within. Welcome to the Social Network Show, Dominique.
Hi, it's so great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And we are so eager to get on to this. You have set up expectations here. But having heard you speak before, I know that you come through. So you call yourself a creativity coach, and of course, many of our listeners are busy creating things, whether they're blogging or podcasting or businesses that want to get their message out to a wider audience and so forth. So what exactly is creativity coaching and how does it work?
Sure. Creativity coaching, probably the easiest way to think about this is to think about life coaching, but for those of us who consider ourselves to be creative in some way. And by creative, I mean, do a check. If you're breathing, you're creative.
Well, that's setting the bar low enough.
It's anyone who is, as you stated, in process of bringing something new into the world. And around that, what often happens is we think, I'm going to embark on this new, wonderful, exciting, yet challenging opportunity or project. And we get the momentum and we're all excited to move forward. And then we often stall and we stop and we don't continue. And so creativity coaches, what we help people with is to actually help them figure out what are all the anxieties and stresses around the creativity process and how to overcome all of those blocks and barriers and provide appropriate solutions given where you are in the creative process.
Well, of course, many of us are at different places in that creativity process. So what will you be able to tell us, you know, that might help anyone regardless of where they are in that process?
Yeah, I think one of the first things is to recognize that there's multiple stages in the process. And I love Eric Maisel's way of looking at this. So he basically says there are six stages. So there's the wishing stage, the choosing stage, then there is the starting stage, working, completing, and showing. And at any one of those six stages, you could encounter certain anxieties around the work. So, for instance, let's start like with the wishing stage. And this is where an idea comes to fruition, but every idea seems like a great idea. So how many of us have had this moment, right, where we're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to write a blog about X. And maybe you're just starting blogging. And this was sort of something I struggled with myself. So it took me a while to figure out what exactly I wanted my blog to be like and what I wanted to sound like. And so every day I would be journaling around, oh no, I'm going to write about this. I'm going to write about this. And then I would just end up so exhausted by the whole process because I was still in that wishing stage and I hadn't yet chosen. And so just even knowing that any one of your projects could be in the wishing or it could be in the choosing or it could be in the working or showing or completing. So you could have multiple projects that are stuck in any one of those stages. And so being able to help see your way through those stages makes a tremendous difference. Just recognizing what stage you're stuck in. Because for a long time, especially because I'm an academic, I would have articles that I was working on, and I would love writing them. I would love doing the work. I would work forever on them. And then I would get stuck in the completing stage. I wouldn't necessarily finish them. And those are great, what we kind of refer to as UFOs, unfinished objects.
Right. And you say that, I want to mention that you are a assistant or associate professor.
Yes, I actually have given up my tenured position. That's a whole other podcast in and of itself, and chosen to take the very brave leap forward into being a creative entrepreneur full-time as a coach because I love it. I have finally figured out what I want to do with my life, I say. So, yeah, actually doing it full-time now.
Well, I salute you that, and envy you too. But you were teaching full time at Texas A&M, and so you've got all those years of working with people and students and so forth, inspiring them to be able to write. So I think we're all familiar with the wishing stage, and I'm glad to hear that it's possible to have more than one project going on at a time, because it almost sounded like we needed to choose which one of these various wishes we have. But what is it? Is there a particular process that will help us get from wishing to choosing and actually have something identified to focus on, and then we'll wait to figure out how we focus? But for right now, how do we choose?
Yeah, I think one of the very first things that you can do is to just take the baby steps that you need to move the project forward. So when you are in process of choosing, we often are thinking of our entire project in the entirety. So for instance, if you're a graduate student working on a dissertation, we'll often say, I'm dissertating right now. Well, not really. You're not working on everything in its totality. I mean, think of a beautiful piece of art, like a piece of jewelry that someone's wearing. It didn't start out as that beautiful necklace. It started out in someone's mind as a concept, and the little tiny pieces of it build to become the beautiful piece of jewelry. So it's the same thing around your dissertation. So choosing the thing, I always call it the thing that's going to keep you up at night and wake you up in the morning. And that begins with the tiniest, smallest baby step you can take towards that particular project. And there are certain things that you can do to help with that. So I call this reminding yourself of your genius. As those of us who are writers, those of us who are creative entrepreneurs, whether we're blogging, podcasters, we all have something that we've done before in our life that we just love. I have a book chapter that I wrote probably 8 years ago that I carry around with me like a baby when I'm just starting a project. And I will reread parts of that because for me, that project, the muse was fully in. I feel like it downloaded. Like it was downloaded from the universe. I don't remember the process being hard. I remember enjoying it. I remember it being done. I remember it being easily and effortlessly accepted. And so reminding yourself of your genius is one way to like beautifully choose a project to start working on. Find the thing that you love, revisit it, reread it, carry it around like a baby, and start with the smallest baby steps to remind yourself, like, I can do this again. Here's a project I can start again and love the same way that I've loved this other thing that I've worked on.
I'm wondering now if that chapter had to deal with the creative process, or was it completely unrelated?
No, it was completely related. It was actually called The Right to Write, and it was about my very first experience teaching when I was a graduate student working on my Master's of Fine Arts in Writing back at Sarah Lawrence, and I was working with prison inmates. I was working with women, and it was helping them to unravel and unwrap and embrace their own creative processes. And yes, so it's very much about creativity and creating and helping them actually often write for the first time and write for themselves and write with audiences in mind, because actually all of that stuff did end up being published, and a lot of it was actually at some point read on NPR. So yeah, no, it was both, I think, a writing project for me that the writing piece was really important, but the advocacy and the social justice piece, all of those components mattered. And I find on our projects, that's the totality. When you can have all of those things coming together, that's what makes the beautiful difference.
Great. Well, what are some other strategies to move, like, from the choosing stage to the next one, which I have already forgotten?
And again, this is Eric Maisel's work, and if you want to hear more and read more about it, he's got a great book called Fearless Creating. And so move yourself forward then from, so it, how I always remember it, so it's wishing, choosing, then there's the starting. And so it goes WCS and then WCS again. So then it's working, completing, and showing.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So then actually, and again, I'm drawing on my experience as a creativity coach and my work with clients. So I'm not necessarily teaching you Eric's way, but my way. So,
right.
So to take you then, if you actually want to think about starting, one of the things that I really would recommend would just be asking yourself some really powerful questions around things. And so thinking about things like where are you in your process, and what is the essence that you're seeking to bring about in your work and bring to the world? You know, what are some things that you've been grappling with that you might have been too afraid to handle and question? So for those of you who are putting out things into the world that sometimes might be controversial, so this might be your research. So for instance, I've worked with students who are doing, because I was a professor of adult education for so many years, I like to say we're actually studying the universe. There's nothing that's not up for grabs there. And so often I'll have students who are maybe dealing with something that's in the medical profession, or dealing something with why students return to the professoriate or return to college to get degrees or change to the professoriate, all of those things making a difference, but also being sometimes worried about how that research is going to be come across in the world. So asking, what are the painful personal questions that I want to ask that can somehow provide the world with some sort of truth and knowledge and content that matters? And then actually sitting and journaling about those questions. And a technique that I love to recommend, there's two for journaling. One, if you're someone who's like, oh, I don't really like to put pen to paper or digits to keyboard, it's not how I operate, is to actually just sit in a chair, two chairs. You need two chairs set up side by side or across from one another. And you sit in one chair and you ask yourself the question. So for instance, if I were to ask myself the question, what's my biggest challenge right now? I ask the question in one chair, flip to the other chair, and answer it.
And very interesting.
What's amazing is sometimes I'll find that the answer is related to things going on in my personal life that might be blocking me. So it might be, wow, I'm feeling really scattered or really unfocused. I feel like I have no time around this. And when clients say they have no time, I'm like, it's really maybe an energy issue. It's that you're lacking the energy to move this project forward. How can you start to get that back?
I want to hear more about energy. And so we're only halfway through our discussion with Dr. Dominic Chlup, and she is the president, owner, and chief creative officer of Inspiring the Creative Within, LLC. So we're going to look forward to more, especially on that question of energy, and also working through the next steps on getting unstuck, a la Dominique, and look forward to more from you, Dominique. Thank you.
Questions? Comments? Reach out to us. Our email address is questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com, or find us on Twitter @socialnetshow.
The
parent company of The Social Network Show is Social Network Intermedia, Inc., a full-service podcast production company. With SNI's services, you can add the personal touch of audio to your communication with followers or customers. Set your blog or company website apart by letting your audience get to know you by hearing your voice. SNI provides coaching, recording, post-production, uploading, distribution, and promotion services so that all you need to think about is your message. To discuss the possibilities, email questions@thesocialnetworkstation.com.
Welcome back to The Social Network Show. I'm your host, Jane Karwoski, Dr. J, experimental psychologist, and we're talking with Dominique Klupp, who is the president, CEO, founder. I think I like most chief creative officer because she is, her business is called Inspiring the Creative Within. And we were just talking about how when people often will say they feel they don't have time to tackle their project or move forward with something they in theory want to do, Dominique, you said it's really not so much about time, but about energy. So you tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, energy is sort of a finite resource. And so the strategy that I help my clients in terms of helping them just to tap back in with any overwhelm or stress or anxiety or lack of energy that they're having is something called emotional freedom technique and tapping. And so there is actually some science and research behind the power of tapping. And what that is, if you're not familiar with it, is actually tapping on your meridian point. So everything from starting with your karate point, where your karate chop point, and you do a setup statement and you kind of say, around this issue, I'm feeling a 10 or a 9 or so. It could be, I feel as if I have no energy in my life to move forward. And, you know, anything, I say tapping on anything around a 5 is normal. 6 is where you'd want to start tapping. And you just tap on your meridian points. And again, this is something that you can take a look at. There's a lot out there on websites that are available for you to look and see what are your tapping points. And you move through, and as with the client, I would help them move through saying things like, I feel energetically blocked. I feel as if I can't move forward. And we tap on the inner eyebrow point, then the outer, then under our nose, the chin, the collarbone point. And then we would just keep saying everything that's coming to mind, basically that your inner critic is telling you. So I feel depleted. I feel anxious. I feel overwhelmed. And then the piece that is so important that so many of my clients struggle with is adding in, even though I feel as if I'm never, ever going to have the energy I need to complete this project, I deeply love and accept myself. So even though I am so worried about being able to complete my blog this week, being able to get my dissertation done, being able to get this artwork done for commission, being able to get my stuff done for tenure, I deeply love and accept myself. And tapping through all the points, and then you do several rounds where you kind of validate and express any of the negative emotions that's coming up. And then you move into the positive, and you do rounds of tapping that are completely positive. So I choose to release the stress. I choose to release the overwhelm because I deeply love and accept myself. And I actually sit with clients on the phone or face to face and take them through that process. And so many will say just that shift allows energy to be replenished. It's incredibly meditative, and it allows them to kind of grab the cup by the other handle, as Aristotle would say. So every cup has two handles. So grab it by the other handle and reframe, reset, and change your mindset around your energy.
Fascinating. So you do a combination of expressing the negative feelings you have, but you follow that up with the even though statement?
Yeah.
And then you do another round of switching to the positive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is all, you know, comes from emotional freedom technique, which is
okay.
technique EFT or tapping, which is a very specific technique for dealing from everything to anxiety, to weight loss, to creativity. And again, it's a way to kind of help reset those pathways to let us reframe how we think about things and to tap in kinesthetically to our bodies. So many of us spend so much time in our heads and outside of our bodies. And as a professor of adult ed, I'm a firm believer in embodied and somatic learning. And that means truly tapping into emotions and allowing the ability to help them unblock and to help them release. And so helping clients through that piece is a large part of the puzzle sometimes.
Well, are there other resources that you'd like to share with us to help inspire our inner creativity?
Sure. And so again, I'm really big on the senses and tapping into the senses, no pun intended there, but to connect the senses. And so another one of my favorite things is to actually use aromatherapy blends with clients. And one of my first coaches, I've had a coach for, going on almost a decade now. I've had coaches in lots of areas. I'm a firm believer if you want to transform your life and change your life, there are two things you can do. One is get a coach, and the second is get a mastermind group. But my coach, one of the things that she really taught me was the difference between being overwhelmed and underwhelmed, and then what she called is just-whelmed. And so I started thinking about, well, how could I want to make an oil, like an essential oil blend that's just-whelmed. And so mm-hmm. I started studying aromatherapy and figuring out what essences you can put together that can actually help you as part of like a creativity ritual. And so like one of my blends, and I actually help teach this to clients, is called Just Whelmed. And in it, you know, you can add, it's got geranium in it, which is for comfort, lavender for calm, and then lemon for renewing. And that bottle gets carried around with me and sits on my desk, and just putting it on the pulse points, breathing it in. And then, of course, having another strategy, which is the mantras to help encapsulate all of this. So when I was a grad student, my mantra was, I chose this life, because as everyone else had these wonderful, great things happening, sometimes I was feeling I needed to be studying all the time or writing all the time and working all the time. And so that mantra became really empowering for me every time I sat down to write or work on a project. When I was going through the tenure process, my mantra became, how badly do I want it? How badly do I want to be tenured? How badly do I want this grant? How badly do I want to see my name in print? All of those things. And I would just use the essential oils. Now, for the last year, as I've stepped into a completely different world, one of creative entrepreneurship, which is probably the biggest leap I've taken to date, again, mantra changed. And this time, it was what I used to think was hard is now easy and effortless to do. And so every time I smell that aromatherapy blend, it just reminds me of my mantra and puts me in a creative mindset and just moves me forward in my work.
So that is very similar to, or maybe it is, an affirmation.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Some people call that an affirmation,
yeah.
Positive statements about yeah. yourself. Or in your case, a lot of those were questions right. of yourself, which I assume you yourself was going to answer in a positive way, or it was going to remind you of your inner desire
yeah.
to do X, Y, or Z.
I think so many of us are tapped into our inner critic. I like to say we have 60,000 thoughts a day. Let's try not to make all of them negative. And so we often catch ourselves thinking these negative thoughts. And what I say is let's tap into, instead of the inner critic, my inner critic actually has a name. His name is Rusty, as in rusty, old, squeaky wheel that isn't very quiet. But I also have an inner mentor. And so the mantras or affirmations, as they're often called, allow me to tap into my inner mentor. And that's the really wise guide that I can tap into every day and move me forward. And Jane, if you want a really simple way to help with that, they say that we're coming up in my time zone right now. This is brilliant. We're actually 2 minutes away from it. 111 and 1111 are considered sort of really important numbers in the universe. And so anytime I see 1111 or 111, I do a check-in and just see what I'm thinking. And if my thoughts are positive, great. I keep moving forward. And if not, I always have this really simple thing that I say, a miracle is getting ready to happen. Beautiful things are coming my way. To just flip the switch and flip and reframe things to get away from the negative thoughts.
It is very true. I think that so much of how we experience life does depend upon what we choose to look at, because, gosh, there's certainly a huge number of negative things we could focus on, but it's our choice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and that's the whole company, Inspiring the Creative Within, is really designed to really help people figure out how to get back to that inspiration, how to get back to the thing that makes them get up in the morning and want to create. Because I really do believe when we're living with unmet dreams, that parts of us just start to dissolve. And I've heard this sort of be described as parts of our soul getting trapped and getting blocked and dissolving. And so when we can figure out what is the thing that brings us joy and happiness and love and how to do more of it, even if it's just 5% more, we're actually making strides and moving forward to transform our life and to choose the life-enhancing decision as opposed to the one that might deter from our life being the best life that we could be living.
Can you give us some examples without violating any confidentiality, of course, but of things that various people have identified as the reason they get up in the morning?
Sure.
Or what gets them, you know, going?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a case study example of a client that I've been working with who was for six years working towards her master's degree. And she came to me at the beginning of the fall semester wanting to actually complete that degree for personal reasons. And it was related a lot to her father and other things, her children and other things going on. So she was feeling incredibly blocked by it and also was lacking sort of not just confidence, but self-efficacy, the belief that she could actually complete this degree. Within 8 weeks, we got her not only to have turned all of her incompletes, they were either completed or well on their way to be completed. She had 3 incompletes, so that's 3 F's on a transcript. And mm-hmm. She also had her orals. They were scheduled, and she was ready to defend her master's. Then she now is working on a second master's and is now applying for PhD programs. So what she discovered was that her reason for getting up in the morning was to actually be able to brilliantly complete this lifelong dream and goal. So whatever that thing is that you know, and you know what it is, whether it's to start the blog or to restart the blog, or whether it is to actually have a podcast for the first time, or whether it is to figure out what your true brand is around your business or get a dissertation done, you know what the thing is. To get that to be the thing that becomes where you put your energy and where you put your resources and where you put your thinking is as simple as then it becoming things that get done, and not just goals that you check off on a to-do list, but your desired base goals. So her intention around things became, I want to feel accomplished. I want to look back on this and feel as if I have accomplished a dream and a desire that I've had for so many years. And she was able to do that.
Great. Well, I want to kind of wrap up here, but most importantly, how do our listeners get in touch with you if they just want to explore this idea of creativity coaching and what types of resources you offer? I know you have an email newsletter, an e-newsletter. So tell us about how to contact you.
Yeah, the best way to get in touch with me is to go to my website. It's inspiringthecreativewithin.com. And there you can sign up and actually get on my list. And once you get on the list, you actually get a lovely meditation. It's a 10-minute meditation to help actually, it's called Inspiring Creativity, a guided meditation. And that will help you in your own creativity process. That gets you on my list. It gets you access to the love notes, which are weekly love letters that I actually write to my audience. And so again, it's inspiringthecreativewithin.com. That's the best way to reach me.
Okay. And I appreciate your love notes. I think they're really unique in that, you know, we all get sometimes if we sign up for a newsletter, we get these letters that kind of are pretending to be to us personally, but I really don't believe them. But yours I truly enjoy, and because I've met you in person and I know how sincere you are, and that you're actually willing to share who you are inside and within with anyone who happens across your life. And so I hope that listeners will look at Inspiring the Creative Within, and it's a .com, right?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Dominique, really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. My joy today. This has been an absolute joy. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So if you want to listen to more podcasts from The Social Network Show, just go to thesocialnetworkshow.com, or actually we have thesocialnetworkstation.com, also the same site, but you can see not just this show, but listen to other podcasts as well. You can follow us on Twitter at socialnetshow, and hear us on iTunes, where you can add a review of the show. We'd really appreciate seeing that. We have an app for the show for iOS and Android. Until we welcome you here again, please have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the worldwide show dedicated to social media networking and understanding the connected, networked world we live in. Listen to our archive shows on thesocialnetworkshow.com and follow us on Twitter at Social Net Show. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia Incorporated. The views and opinions expressed are those of our host and guest and may not be the views and opinions of Social Network Intermedia.